Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
Now, the 15th century book of Lismore is considered to be one of the greatest Irish manuscripts in our history. After almost 400 years abroad, it is now finally coming home to our shores. Joining me now on News Talk to discuss the significance of this event is Padraig O'Machain, Professor of Modern Irish at UCC. Padraig, how are you today?
Hello, Padraig.
Hello, John.
You will tell me. Ah, you're there.
Hello, Tom.
How are you today? You can hear me okay?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, sure, Tom. Thanks very much.
So listen, tell me all about the book of Lismore. What is it exactly?
Oh, well, it's a big manuscript, pages, 400 pages, bigger than A4 in size, written in Irish on cask in vellum in the late 15th century. For the King of the McCarthy's Ray, or the Lord of the McCarthy's Ray, that's Fionnuala Macartha Riach, down in Kilbritton in West Cork. And it's a collection of tales, of prose texts that range from the religiously themed to the fantastic and the super entertaining. And the contents gives us, an insider's view of intellectual activity and the tastes of the nobility in terms of literature in late medieval Ireland.
Right. So where had it been these last 400 years?
Well, it's been in a number of places, Tom. It was housed in Kilbritton Castle for nearly 200 years, certainly over 150 years. It was confiscated during the wars of the 17th century, around 1642. Transferred to the ownership of the Boyles, who were Earls of Cork, and then moved to Lismore Castle at a date we don't know, which was Lismore Castle was owned by the Boyles at the time and passed in through marriage then to the Cavendishes, the Dukes of Devonshire, in the mid-18th century. And it was secluded away in Lismore Castle and only rediscovered in 1814 during renovations when it was revealed, along with the Lismore Crozier, which happens to be in the National Museum. And so it's been in the possession of the Cavendishes, or the Devonshire family, since way back and up to this year, when it was donated to University College Cork by the Duke of Devonshire.
Right. And did I read that at one point it had been bricked up in a wall?
Yeah, so that's where it was found bricked up in a wall in 1814 during renovations to Lismore Castle. And for all that, if you were to look at it today, it's really remarkable, in remarkably good condition. Of course, the Dukes of Devonshire looked after it very well. They were very generous in loaning it to scholars over the years. But it's a very well looked after manuscript, and of course it bears stains and so forth, and the marks of the times in which it has gone through. Nevertheless, it's a very clear manuscript and a wonderful book to behold.
Right, so it's history. It's been bricked up in a wall and being confiscated. That's partly behind the fact that it's managed to survive, isn't it?
It is indeed. Plus, I think you have to give credit to people to the previous owners who looked after it superbly. But all Irish manuscripts, Tom, you know, they bear this history, if you like, of their varied history. Sometimes you can't actually pin it down in the way that we can with regard to the Book of Lismore. But nevertheless, to be in the presence of such a magnificent book now, and you know, we were there yesterday looking at it again, it's really a humbling experience, because all these manuscripts, you must know, are unique artifacts. They're handmade artifacts, only one of a kind. And you know, it's like almost like being in a time machine. You're transported back to the time in which they were written, because as opposed to a printed book where the printer intervenes, as it were, what you're looking at is really the maker of the book. The makers of the book are almost communicating with you. So it's a wonderful experience.
And what kind of stuff is in it?
So it's a collection of stories. It begins with, as it is today, it begins with a series of lives of the saints, Patrick, Colin Killer, Bridget, and so forth. Moves on then to international literature, translated into Irish, most remarkably, I suppose, the travels of Marco Polo. The only copy of the Irish translation of Marco Polo is in this manuscript. Moves on into old Irish sagas, or sagas from traditional stories, related to kings of Ireland, and then it has some humorous texts, and it finishes up then with a very long and very entertaining collection of material related to Fionn Mac Cool.
Fionn Mac Cool, fantastic.
Yeah.
Who would have been compiling this? Who would have been writing it?
Yeah, so all manuscripts from this era were the product of learned schools, almost proto-universities, if you like. This, we're talking about, of course, a pre-urban Ireland and an autonomous Ireland, autonomous Gaelic Ireland, untouched to a large extent by the British Crown. And what developed in late medieval times and perhaps over there even before that were schools of learning dotted all around the country that produced professional scholars, people who did nothing else other than study and compose poetry, make manuscripts, write stories. These were an elite class. These weren't in any way like your servants or anything. These were an elite class, and they were set apart by their scholarship and by their literacy in particular. So the Book of Lismore, to narrow it down, was the product of a family in the area of Kilbritton in West Cork, known as the O'Callaghans. They're a very famous family of medical scholars, as it happens. But of course, they were literate in Irish, so they could make books other than books related to medicine. And it also contains a contribution from the famous O'Daly poets of that area also. So these books were produced in a milieu of professional learning and of elite scholarship.
Right. It sounds like West Cork was quite the place at the time, as it is today.
Well, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. You know, I mean, you look at it today and you still think, even indeed today, but you're looking at largely a rural landscape. And it's hard to believe that in that area, not just the Book of Lismore, but other manuscripts were produced. And the context, because it has a coastline, the contact with Europe, with Spain and with France, was far more, in a sense, immediate almost than it is today, even though we have internet and all that kind of thing today. The learned people along that coastline from Skull almost as far as Cork City were all in touch and in communication and with European literature. And that is reflected in the books that were produced along that area. So, I mean, it's no exaggeration to call this a sort of a rural university, a proto-university, a precursor of the sort of urban centres that we imagine today.
Right. It sounds jaw-dropping. It must be incredible for you. You're able to touch this. You're not precluded from actually laying your hands on it.
No, it's always a humbling experience, Tom, to be in the presence of these great books. Because these people, you know, we kind of think of ourselves today as being at the forefront of technology and of intellectual development. These people were our superiors, to be quite honest with you. They were in every way. They were, you know, they had Latin, Irish, and other languages. They were able to make these books. And if you saw the calligraphy, the handwriting in the Book of Lismore, it would really, and you know, just to spend some time with it is a great therapy. It really is. You know,
it sounds magnificent.
If you want to de-stress, put yourself in the presence of a medieval manuscript.
Hopefully, I will get to do that one day. Pádraig, thank you very much for joining us today. Pádraig, the professor of modern Irish at UCD, on the Book of Lismore back in its rightful place.
Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.